You're listening to a Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
15 minutes after 9 Central African Time. You know, I'm getting used to, I almost say that 15 minutes to 10 in Makkah al-Mukarramah. You know, last week this time, the days of Hajj, subhanAllah, it came, it's gone. And I see my beloved Fadilatul Ustad touching on very, very important points. Many, many listeners are sad. Many, many listeners are asking themselves why. Why is this happening to the Muslim Ummah around the world? Is it because of our sins? Is it because of our gunas? Is there something wrong that we are doing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is naraz? You know, and Allah, I know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says very beautifully in the Quran. I forgot that verse, but inshallah when it comes again, I'll remember inshallah. But anyway, let's go to our beloved Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, are you there with us? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, Ustad. Gee, Ustad, let's move on to our next segment. I know many listeners are tuning. Of course, I'm surprised, Ustad, the Muslim Women Forum, they are with you this evening. Wow, on the discussion.
Mulana, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the first university, Mulana, of a child, our mothers, alhamdulillah. And definitely, they also play a vital role in the community and in society, and we must not undermine them.
Mm-hmm.
Maulana, they play a vital role in our lives. Maulana, that home without a mother, wo ghar kabristan hai. That home without a mother is like a graveyard. Everyone is lost. They are a beacon of light, Maulana. Farmaye ki jis ghar mein biwi na ho, wo be-noor hai. In that house where there isn't a wife, there's no noor there, Maulana. So look after your marriage, treasure your wife, treasure your husband. Keep the family unit together. Anyway, Maulana, let's go to, mashallah,
Gee.
The Hujjaj that are coming, inshallah.
Ustad, just before we go to the Hujjaj, there's a one or two questions here. Somebody says, Yamaf Maulana, respected Maulana Salim Karim, one of your regular listeners, Mrs. Dawood from Clear Estate. She's old and don't know how to use WhatsApp or SMS. She has read a dua to me to forward to you, Maulana Salim Karim. Hamari dua hai. Yahi hai khuda. Ki aslam mein bole bale saada. Ata kar sabhi koi. Hidayat ka noor. Jalad ki andera. Ho jahe do. Tere bande tere. Ye ka apar mopar, something like that to start. I don't know if Ustad understands the meaning.
No, mashallah. I think it's beautiful dua in Urdu, Mulana. Asking Allah Ta'ala for guidance, asking Allah Ta'ala for hidayat, asking Allah for protection, Allah Ta'ala to forgive our weaknesses. Inshallah, you can WhatsApp that dua to me.
We'll do, Ustad. Definitely. Ustad, welcoming the Hujjaj. What's the best way and sunnah way to welcome the Hujjaj? I think most probably, inshallah, our first flight will be landing tomorrow in South Africa, if I'm not mistaken, Ustad. So,
yeah, I heard so, Mulana, inshallah, Al-Aziz.
So,
yes, Mulana, whenever somebody leaves for Hajj, alhamdulillah, the excitement, the du'as, the crying, the forgiveness, making peace with everybody. Because you left here with the intention that Allah must change my life and my whole attitude in life must change. I must become more Allah conscious. I must start reading my salah. I must start treating my wife and my children in a better form. I should be giving more charity. I should be getting up for tahajjud. I should be a regular reciter of Zikrullah and Durood Sharif on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the beauty in Islam that, you know, when somebody gets married, you say, Barakallahu lak. Ke Allah ta'ala give you barakah. Mulana, you always, subhanAllah, you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you give mubarakbad when somebody accepts Islam also. Alhamdulillah, we give them mubarakbad. So, inshallah, when the Hujjaj are returning, alhamdulillah, they are the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They have achieved so much. So, it's only fair that they are diyuf Allah, they are the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, what a great honor it is to welcome them back home. And Allah Ta'ala's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, they are still the gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are mustajabu da'wat. So request du'as from them before they enter their homes. And inshallah al-Aziz, talk to them, get some experience. Let them, inshallah, relate what transpired, their personal experience. So that could give us a little bit of himmat to say, you know what, inshallah, I'm prepared next year to make this sacrifice. If this elderly auntie or uncle managed to go for Hajj, I'm still young, I can still walk, I can still run, alhamdulillah. So let some inspiration talk comes into us. Invite them, inshallah, take du'as from them, hug them, make mulaqat with them, kiss them. It's such a great honor that they have come from the most Mubarak.
Ustad, a revered sister, Sister Farzana, from Peter Maritzburg. She says that, of course, her friends will be returning soon, inshallah, from Baytullah. So she wants to know, do you have to garland them with flowers around their necks? You know, you put the garland them. Ustad?
That's not necessary, inshallah. I know it's a tradition. A lot of people do that in the olden days, mashallah. It's more of a tradition. It's got nothing to do with Sharia and Deen and Islam. It's a form of showing and expressing appreciation and happiness. So, yes, the best is to give them dua, you know, welcome them. Subhanallah al-Aziz, and give them the best of du'as and request the best of du'as. But as I said, some people do it as a tradition. Well, that's left between them if they still want to do it. But nobody can say it's a sunnah. So let's also separate the issue that what we should strive for is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu. I know this is the one way of showing gratitude and happiness and expressing it, but the most beautiful way to express your love and appreciation to somebody is to give them du'as. So I think this is why Rasulullah ﷺ said, قَبِلَ اللَّهُ حَجَّكْ SubhanAllah. First thing Rasulullah said, may Allah accept you. You see, when Hadrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala was also leaving for Umrah, he came to meet Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah ﷺ said, لَا تَنْسَنَا بِدُعَائِكِ يَا أَخِي. Oh, my brother Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, don't forget me in your du'as. So the point what I'm saying is that when they leave or when they come, you embrace them with du'as. You welcome them with du'as. That's the proper and sunnah and the correct way to do it.
Ustad, let's go to Van der Bijl Park. Sister wants to know Sister Nazreen. She says, respected Mulana Salim Karim, I really love you guys' show every Thursday evenings. My heart gets very sore when you guys are not live on the airwaves. This is Sister Nazreen. She wants to know, Ustad, is it true when you welcome the Hujjaj? Is it true when you welcome the Hujjaj, they say when you welcome them, their du'as are still accepted for 40 days. Is this authentic, Ustad?
Yeah, I was looking at one hadith earlier on, Mawlana. One riwayat, it comes a request of them du'as because they still mustajabu da'wat till the 20th of Rabiul Awal. I know that in one riwayat, it comes with 40 days. I am subject to correction. But I've heard this hadith quite often. But inshallah, we can check and verify it, inshallah, with hadith, just to get the correct interpretation. Yes, but they are definitely mustajabu dawah.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 23 minutes after 9, somebody asking here, please ask Mawlana Salim Karim this question. Should we have like a party for welcoming them, for welcoming the Hujjaj? Ustad?
I would say a party, Mawlana. Inshallah, as a token of appreciation, inshallah, it's so nice to feed the people, meet the Hujjaj, all the families can get together, salam, kalam, inshallah, khairiyat, and you can meet them all at one time. It's khair and barakat in that. But not to make it a lavish party and a celebration, definitely not. Keep it simple, practical, with this niyat that this is sila rahmi. You know, it's so nice, after such a long time, all the families will be together, alhamdulillah, and, you know, a comprehensive dua can be made, where everybody will be, inshallah, included in the dua. But to have a party and to have a, you know, a big dhoom-dham, this is not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Somebody's asking, Ustad, what are the signs of an accepted Hajj? What are the signs of an accepted Hajj, Ustad?
The biggest sign of a person who accepts Hajj is his quality of taqwa has, alhamdulillah, increased. He's become more Allah conscious. His heart is with Allah. His ta'alluq is with the masjid. His behavior with his family has completely changed. He's a soft person. He's an accommodating person. You'll always find him making zikr of Allah. His code of dressing has changed. His style of business has changed. He's become more simple. He's become more approachable. But more so, Mawlana, from his face, you can see the nur of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. the radiance of his dua, his forgiveness, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala sometimes externally shows it to the ummah.
Allahu Akbar. Well, sir, it's 25 minutes after 9. Of course, we're going to be starting our third segment, and that is how to preserve a marriage. I know many listeners were waiting for this. Many listeners were sending me questions saying, Molana, when is that how to preserve a marriage? I know when we touch on marriage, you start, it's like everyone's ears are all are all listening to you attentively, Ustad. So, inshallah, let's go to this topic, Ustad. It's a beautiful Thursday evening as well. It's the 14th of Dhul Hijjah. And our third segment starting now is that how to preserve a marriage, Ustad. You know, what do you do when you fall out of love with your spouse? That's the first question coming here from a listener in Johannesburg. What do you do when you fall out of love with your spouse? And what's the meaning of preserve, Ustad?
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillahi wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhina safa. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa ta'awanu alal birri wat taqwa. Sadaqallahu Mawlana al-Azim. Mawlana, nikah is the sunnah of the anbiya. And whenever the khutbah of nikah is read and announced, three ayahs of the Quran is read, each one is talking about taqwa, taqwa, taqwa. Because now it comes, it's normal that you are an individual. You have to work together as a unit. It cannot be I now, it's got to be we. It's got to be us. So, hukukullah will come in and hukukul ibad. That is why there's a discussion amongst the ulama. Is it better to remain single and just make Allah's ibadat all the time? There's no time to have wife and children and hospital and expenses. What is better? But the jamhur ulama in the view that inshaAllah al-Aziz, it is better to get married. There's tremendous amount of barakah, protection, and barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you're getting married, Mulana, it must be first and foremost that I'm fulfilling a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam, and I'm getting myself into nikah, and the wife that's going to be my wife, alhamdulillah, this must be the beautiful quality in her. I, as the husband, should think that she's going to help me to promote my iman, protect my iman, encourage me to become a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to discipline you inside that you have to give up this pride and ego. Because somebody totally new is coming into your life. It's a challenge. See? That how much of sabr, how much of tolerance that you are going to make. And see how easy Allah has made it for the wives and for the husband. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a husband looks at his wife with love and compassion, see, and it pleases him, she reads her five daily namazes, she gives her zakat, she performs the hajj, wajabat laha al-jannah, Allah has made jannah wajib for her. So, Mawlana, what a great asset it is. You have a companion, you have a soulmate, you have a friend, you have a person who's a teacher. Subhanallah, multitask. And all of it, Mawlana, if we have to employ a cook, somebody to do the laundry, somebody to do the errands for us, Mawlana, somebody worked it out, you know, that look at our wives, mashallah, what sacrifice and qurbani they make, Mawlana. We go to work, yes, we have to earn, and we have to feed them. But look at the amount of sacrifice, and imagine, Mawlana, the biggest sacrifice is the wife has to leave her parental home, where she lived in absolute luxury, happiness, and freedom. Mm. Well, imagine now, if it was just think for a moment for the men folk, that they should just think that if this was the principle, that once you get married, the husband must now go and stay by the wife's house full time.
What is it, Ghar? What is it, Ustad? Ghar Jamai?
Ghar Jamai. Ghar Jamai. Yeah, Ghar Jamai style. just imagine. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given great reward for them for serving their wives and serving the husband and making khidmat of their children and looking after the house, looking after their haya and chastity. So, Mawlana, if you have such a great asset, Mawlana, don't you think that we have to preserve, we have to look after, we have to work, we have to learn to forgive, we have to learn to accommodate? Because in the end, whatever you're doing it for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Luqman-e Hakim, you know, he was working for somebody, and the owner asked him to bring a cucumber that he had planted. He brought one, it was very tasty, he asked for the next one, this one was very bitter, he spat it out. And he gave it to Hazrat Luqman, you taste it? He said, Alhamdulillah, he tasted it and he ate it, he didn't say a word, he didn't frown. So they asked him, but why? So he said, you know, that Allah who has given me all my life sweet things to eat. And once in a while, if there's something that is bitter, should I complain?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, shukr, Allahu Akbar.
So likewise, Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali said, that wife you married for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, she served you winter, summer, cold, sick or no sick. Mawlana, she's up at 4 o'clock reading her tahajjud salah. She's getting the children up for Fajr Salah. She's getting the husband up. MashaAllah, make sure that Tilawat-e-Quran is being read. Ta'aleem is being done. What great sacrifice. So if she makes one mistake, you want to give her 3 talaqs. You want to hit her. You want to divorce her. You want to kick her out. We'll be answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what is true love, Mawlana? I was the one who loved you, even though you gave me 1,000 reasons not to.
Allahu Akbar.
How much sabr they make of us? Sometimes we men become so difficult. We got no sabr in us, no patience in us. Well said. I was the one who loved you, even though you gave me 1,000 reasons not to. So, Mawlana, let's show some appreciation. Shukr. Was a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, for 40 years I never fought with my wife. So they asked him, how's that? 40 years and you didn't fight with your wife? He said, whenever we started an argument, we made a rule that if you start arguing as the wife, I'm going to keep total silence. I'm not going to respond. And vice versa. If the husband is going to get angry, the wife will remain totally silent. So one wife said, you know, I went to the Mawlana Sahib, said, Mawlana Sahib, you know what, my husband is beating me up every day. Give me some taweez. I want to make him a chicken.
Yeah.
Gee, he must listen. If I tell him jump, he must ask me how high. So Mawlana Sahib exactly knew that, you know, she's a talkative person. She can't keep her mouth closed. He said, please bring some water from your house. The bottle I'm going to make dumb. And inshallah, whenever your husband comes in the house, you must sip that water and don't swallow it. And you'll see in a few days, your husband will love you the best. So mashallah, she took the water and she went to Mawlana Sahib. The Mawlana Sahib, he made spaza dumb in it. And he said to her, but you must do this diligently.
Yeah.
You must do it with pabandi.
Uh-huh.
So whenever the husband, before she used to, the moment he walked in, she would start with him and nag him.
Uh-huh.
Now the Mawlana Sahib said that if I want to win my husband over and control him, so whenever the husband used to come, she should take one whole sip of water and keep it in her mouth. Keep it in her mouth. And whenever the husband said anything, she should just keep quiet. So the husband also noticed, subhanAllah, today, few days gone now, there is nothing. So he asked her, what happened? He says, in the end, she had to tell him the truth, that no, I went to Mawlana Sahib to get some dumb water, inshallah, to control you and soften you. So he told me to put water in my mouth whenever you come, so, and I must not swallow that water. So, Mawlana, if you're going to keep the water in your mouth, you're not going to speak. The bottom line here is, chuparaho. So yes, it becomes difficult. But anyway, The question is very simple, that we must make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I said, you want to get married, it must be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, marry women that have great love and who can give birth to many a child, so that on the day of Qiyamah, I can, insha'Allahul Aziz, be proud in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have the greatest reciters of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah.
Somebody's saying, you start from Mozambique, respected Maulana, it says respected Maulanas, is there such a thing of making sabr in a marriage? Is there such a thing, Ustad, of making sabr in a marriage? And if there is, Ustad, how much of sabr can you make? I know you told me, you said, oh no, it was this morning, or you said it on Wednesday, on the bliss of marriage. You make so much of sabr, they will end up calling you, what, Sabira?
Sabira.
You, Ustad, so I don't know. Is there such a thing of making sabr in a marriage, Ustad?
The word sabr, yeah, in marriage will mean tolerance. You can't have everything your way, Maulana. This is the mistake sometimes we make as in relationship, in marriages, Maulana. I want to enslave my wife to think like me. Yes, she's an individual, respect. Yes, consult with her, make mashura with her. Yes, you are the husband, you the amir of the house. Finally, inshallah, your decision will be considered. But make mashura with your wife. Ask her for an opinion. Maybe, Maulana, she would look at it in a different way, which you are totally not worried about. And mashallah, it makes a lot of sense. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had come to perform Umrah. Sulh Hudaybiyah. And the enemies of Islam, the Quraysh, refused entry into Makkah. So Rasulullah had to camp outside. Ihsar. They can't come out of the Ihram. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, look, make halk and come out of your ihram. They refused. They said, ya Rasulullah, we're not leaving here. We are going to make umrah. They refused. They had such jazba and enthusiasm. They came from Madinatul Munawwara, the Sahaba Ikram, to perform tawaf, to make umrah. And the enemies and the Quraysh stopped them. So Rasulullah had to camp. And obviously you have to come out of your ihram. So I think it was Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. She's the wife of Rasulullah. She accompanied Rasulullah on this journey. And the Sahaba Ikram, not even being disobedient to Rasulullah, but when you have that zawk and shawk, no, I want to finish my umrah. So she said to Rasulullah, Sahaba Ikram are not going to take the ihram out. What you do, why don't you shave your head, make halk, and you take the ihram out? And then see how the Sahaba Ikram, in a split second, will follow what you did. And exactly as the mashura that was given by the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to Rasulullah, Rasulullah acted on it. And immediately all the Sahaba Ikram saw Rasulullah making halk of his hair, and they also did the same. And Rasulullah removed the ihram, they did the same. So what I'm saying, that Maulana, you have to sometime make mashura, at least take her into consideration. Don't leave them out, because somebody says, you must not make mashura with women. It'll be a disaster. Well, no, you can't make a general statement like that. In so many instances, the women folk, mashallah, gave beautiful pieces of advice. There's a whole book, The Women Around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How Rasulullah treated them. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged them in certain matters. So the brother is asking a question, what is sabr? Everything won't work in your favor. Yes, when you were single, you could do everything. You were in control totally. But when you married somebody else's daughter, you'll have to gel together. You have to understand each other. You got to know what is his likes and her dislikes. You got to know each other. You got to know and insha'Allahul Aziz, find out about each other. And then eventually, after 1 year or 2 years, you have a good understanding of your partner. So you have to give marriages a two-way street. If you want respect, give respect. You want love, give love.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. 21 minutes to 10, you are tuning in, listening to the discussion. Somebody says here, Mulana Salim Karim, I'm trying to read the question. It says, how do you achieve common grounds in a marriage? Because different backgrounds, different cultures, different upbringings. So, respected Mulana Salim, how do you come to mutual compromise? This is anonymous sister from Bitter Maritzburg. Ustad.
Well, that's a good question.
Very good question, Ustad.
Yes. Well, we come from a different background, different culture, different race group, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms, you call it kofu, which means compatibility.
Compatibility, yes.
You know, it is so important in relationships that we must be compatible in so many things, Molana, language-wise, culture-wise, so many aspects that we have to consider. Not that it's a precondition. As somebody said, no, I have to marry an Urdu-speaking girl because I'm Urdu-speaking. Otherwise, the nikah is not valid.
Mm-hmm.
There's no such thing like that in Islam. The greatest criteria is iman and akhlaq. Whether he's black, whether he's Abyssinian, whether he's blue or red in color. لا فضل لعربي على عجمي ولا عجمي على عربي. Whether you are black, you're not superior over a white, and if you're white, you're not superior over a black. إلا بديني وتقوى الله. So the common denominator is taqwa. Because your taqwa levels will increase and bring you closer to Allah and put you in a position so that you could fulfill hukukullah and hukukul ibad. That's the criteria. That you're conscious of Allah. How I speak, how I talk, how I behave, how I treat my wife, I'm all the time conscious to Allah, of Allah. Because my Allah is watching me. And I have to be a role model to my children. The mother has to be a role model to her children. So tomorrow, they could make good homes.
Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, subhanallah. So, Ustaz, let's go to the next one, right? I'm seeing here, it says, it's my fourth marriage, but for some reason, I just can't sustain a long-term relationship. What's wrong with me? Where am I going wrong? Ustaz, this is a brother. It's my fourth marriage, but for some reason, I just can't sustain a long-term relationship. What's wrong with me? Where am I going wrong? Ustaz.
No, let's go back to the same hadith again.
Yatunkahu
al-mar'u li-arba'in. That when you propose to a girl, it is because of four qualities. Wali-maliha, because of her wealth. Wali-jamaliha, because of her beauty. Wali-nasabiha, because of the nobility of the family that she comes. Or wali-diniha. Are you marrying her because of her deen and her taqwa? Fasfar bisati deen. Taribat yada. Always give preference to the quality of taqwa. Consider wealth, consider beauty, consider the nobility of the family, but the criteria and the cherry on the top is marry her because of her taqwa. So maybe somewhere along the line, there's an oversight that maybe I'm looking at the wealth. By her beauty, I'm taken away. I'm overwhelmed by her beauty. Not realizing that I'm doing a great injustice to myself and to her. And today, Molana, the women are very vocal. In the olden days, Molana, our mothers, grandmothers would remain, keep quiet and cry. That's it. They never said oof, or they never complained to anybody. If they spoke, they spoke to Allah. They kept their marriages. They grew 13 children, 14, 15 children. They made sabr. Okay, what sabr are you talking about, Mulana? Mulana, it all depends what you made of. What your parents instilled in you. The values. The technique. How to handle situations. You have some maturity, some understanding. Mulana, no doctor gives the same injection to all his patients. Each one is built different.
Built different, yes, Ustad. Definitely.
You can't just use one injection for 50 patients who are sitting there, Morana. Each one's body reacts different. Each one's symptom is different. All got flu. And one person's nose is blocked. One person's ears is blocked. See, so many other things, the doctor won't give the same injection, same medication. So likewise, every individual is different. This is the challenge of that Allah Ta'ala wants to teach you how to control your nafs and ego. And sometimes, when Allah gives you a wife who is sometimes absolutely difficult.
Yes. Correct, Ustaz. 100%.
How do you, as a husband, what do you do? Well, the quickest way what some of the guys do is give a talaq and send a flying. That's it.
Astaghfirullah.
No sabr, no understanding, no compromise. Go for advice, go for counseling, make the homework. No. And sometimes Allah wants to raise the darajat of the husband. Because I'm being tolerant all the time. My wife, sometimes she shouts at me. Sometimes she's angry with me. Sometimes the food is not ready. Sometimes so many things that she's doing wrong. All he does, he just says, Inna Allah ma as-sabirin, and he keeps quiet. These are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised their darajat. Yes, maybe the wife doesn't know the value of a husband.
Hmm.
You know, like the famous incident, you know, normally the Mulana's wives or the pious people, some of them, the wives are very difficult. As I said to you, they are either a test from Allah. So the ulama gave a beautiful example. One sheikh was very, very pious. The whole world respected him. His wife used to say, you know what? You are useless. Kuch bhi nahi. You just dhokai. You're just bluffing the people. And she never appreciated and acknowledged his wisdom and acceptance. She always used to nag at him and run him down. So one day he made dua to Allah. Oh Allah, I want to show my wife, you know, that I have some capability and capacity in me. He asked Allah Ta'ala that, oh Allah, I want to be suspended on a musalla. But my wife sits outside. So I want to fly over in the courtyard in the musalla. Maybe she'll think that maybe my husband has got something. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala granted him that. So she saw this buzroob, somebody with a musalla, going right round in the courtyard. And then in the evening when the husband came, it was him. But she didn't recognize him. So in the evening when he came, she said to him, Aaj maine kamal dekha. Today I saw something unusual.
Strange.
So he asked, what happened? He said, you talk about buzroob, you're sitting here and nothing. Tum kuch bhi na ho. You're nothing. Look at that buzroob, he's flying in the air. And look how he's circulating. Aise logo ko buzroob kehte hain. So he said to her, well, she'll never acknowledge him. That's the point what I'm going to say now. That's where you're going to laugh, Mulana. So she's saying to him, you should be like that man there, flying in on the musalla. So he said that it was me that was going with the musalla. Oh, no. She said, that's why you were flying crooked. You're not going straight.
Allah.
Sometimes, Mulana,
Subhanallah.
It's so hard for the wife to accept the goodness of his wife. Or sometimes the wife to accept the goodness of the husband, Mulana, can always find an excuse and there are always unnecessary arguments and fights. Mulana. But again, the point I'm saying very clearly, Mulana, each one has got a different temperament. It's how you're going to adjust. How are you going to, inshallah, give and take? And inshallah, sometimes the best thing, two words, jiha or maaf kijiye.
Beshak.
Two words in a good relationship, you don't know to have quite an argument with your wife, just say to her, jiha. Whatever you are saying is right. Well, secondly, I'm sorry, I hurt your feelings, or I didn't do it, or I forgot to bring it. Maaf kijiye.
Sister Munira, Sister Munira from Leicester, she says, is it true, Mulana Salim Karim, a marriage is not measured by the number of years? Is that true, Ustad? Sister Munira from Leicester. Ustad?
Well, somebody said, you know,
uh-huh,
the marriage, we are married for so many years that the celebration continues till today.
Wow.
We are married for so many years. In other words, mashallah, Mulana, it's the attitude. It's the mindset. Mana, this marriage can last till Qiyamah Day. Marriage is the only longest ibadat in the world. Namaz you read for 10, 15 minutes, Mana. Roza you keep for 12 hours or 19 hours or 22 hours. Hajj is for 5 days. Which is the longest ibadat in the world? Is nikah. From the time you make niyat, oh Allah, I want to get married, and you start your proposal. Till you get married, you live in this dunya, you have children, and Allah will make your spouse your partner in Jannat also. The longest form of ibadat is nikah. So, our marriage was many years ago. One lady said to me, Raja Imran, I'm married 54 years. Subhanallah, they lived happily. It's how you make it work, Mulana. You have to make it work. There's no one standard rule to say, you want a long marriage, you must do this. No. Mulana, you learn from trial and error. We must agree to disagree. We must agree that we are insan, we make mistakes, and correct me. Correct me in a loving way.
I see Sister Farina, she says, Ustad, from Verlam, she says, very true, respected Mawlana Salim Karim, it's measured by the moments spent together memories. Is that correct, Ustad? Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar.
You know, there's somebody, a nice saying here, Mawlana. Maybe you are asking for a drop. Maybe you are asking Allah for a drop. And Allah has written an ocean for you.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah.
You are asking Allah, oh Allah, give me a pious wife. I love this quote, Mawlana. Maybe you are asking for a drop. And Allah has written an ocean for you. Mawlana, there are such beautiful marriages and relationships out there that the couple made dua to Allah very sincerely. They asked for a pious wife. But Allah Ta'ala gave them comprehensively everything. He asked for one thing, for a drop, but Allah Ta'ala gave them an ocean. So if you want a good marriage also, Mawlana, take to the musalla. After every namaz, make dua for your husband, make dua for your wife. Sit together, eat together, read together, play together. And then see how the marriage will be sustained, inshallah.
I see our sister, mashallah, from Azadville, says that, Mawlana Salim, sometimes people nowadays, they take nikah as a joke, which is true. She is correct. And she says that it's all about the wedding, the smoke, it says the smoke coming onto the stage, and there's fireworks, and there's chandeliers. You have the bride coming to the hall in a hot air balloon. There's a sister from Azadville. And the groom comes in with a helicopter. It's a joke, all this, Mawlana Salim Karim. The marriage just lasts for a few days, and hundreds of thousands of rands is wasted. Is that true, Ustad?
Mawlana, when you do things to boast and show off, then Allah will also do the same.
Allah.
There will not be barakat and khair. It's about pomp. You know, this is what shaitan wants. There is no ikhlas. There is no simplicity. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most prosperous nikah, most honorable nikah. Inna a'zaman nikah barakah. Why are we getting married? Allah to give us barakah in our life. And the greatest barakah is pious children. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. You read the dua and I read it every day. We're making tawaf. We are reading it. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana. وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله ذات كلمة فوت كلمة. We are reading. So when you say ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة, oh Allah grant me حسنة في الدنيا, what it means? So Allah grant me a pious wife. Allah grant me الأولاد الأبرار. Allah grant me pious children. Allah give me the understanding of the Quran. Allah give me rizki halal. Allah give me the understanding of the Quran. Allah protect me from hasidin and shayateen.
Allahu Akbar.
Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana. Your wife is hasana fi dunya. See? She's a gift from Allah to you. So inna azaman nikah baraka. See? the least expenses. Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Awf, close Sahabi of Rasulullah. Rasulullah loved him. One of the richest Sahaba. One day Rasulullah came in the masjid and found a speck of saffron on his clothes. In those days, mashallah, they use saffron as a perfume too. Beautiful. Mm. When you take saffron, inshallah, and heat it and put a little bit of boiling water. And I was in Dubai the other days when Alim Saab said, Murana, I want to give you a special dawat for chai. So I said, Chaliye, let's go. So he said to me, Murana, in this one restaurant here, it's from Pakistan, I'm going to give you saffron tea to drink.
Saffron?
You never drank in your life. Huh? Murana, you must try it also. Ask Appa to add a few strands of saffron in your tea. Good for the blood, it's good for the heart, so many things. Murana, wallahu alazim, the best cup of tea I drank. You could see the strands of saffron, the smell, and inshallah, the taste of saffron. Absolutely marvelous. So Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had a stain of saffron on his kurta. Rasulullah asked him, you made nikah. If it was you and me, you say, Murana, you didn't invite me for the nikah. I would be blown up. He said, gee, ya Rasulullah, I made nikah. Rasulullah didn't ask him, but why you didn't ask me to make the nikah? Why you didn't invite me? Rasulullah didn't ask him. The first thing Rasulullah said, Barakallahu lak.
Allahu Akbar.
This is beauty, this is dua. This is what I'm saying. Nikah is also about dua. The first word after nakahtuha, wa kabiltuha, wa tazawwajtuha, is Barakallahu lak. Allah give both of you baraka. Wa baraka alayk.
Wa jama'a.
May Allah's special blessings be upon you. Wa jama'a baynakuma fi khayr. May Allah unite both of you in all good acts. So the first thing Rasulullah said to him, when he confirmed, gee, ya Rasulullah, I got married. Rasulullah didn't tell him why you didn't invite me. We get very angry. Or why you didn't ask me to make the nikah? I'm the Maulana Sahib. The best person to make the nikah is the father. You don't have to be an alim to make the nikah. Yes, as long as the father, you know the masla masail, how to make ijab and kubul mulana. The first haq is the haq of the father to make the nikah. Okay, in today's zaman, alhamdulillah, we choose the alim of the town, of the most pious alim, and mashallah, if there's an alim in the family, alhamdulillah. But if tomorrow the father says, in my town, mulana, I got three fathers said, mulana, jazakallah, we really love you if you can make the nikah, but we are, alhamdulillah, want to make our own daughter's nikah. Can you allow us to do that? I said, bismillah. Go ahead. But we get upset. Why you didn't call me to make the nikah? Now we compete on that also, mulana. Sad.
I see.
The point of what I'm saying. Mulana, the point of what I was saying. Look at the simplicity of the nikah. Rasulullah didn't get angry with the sahabi. Because you didn't invite me. You didn't ask me to make the nikah.
Allahu Akbar.
Rasulullah said, Barakallah. Straight away. Beautiful words of dua. Awlim walawbi shati. Rasulullah gave the second instruction. Make walima, even if you have to slaughter a sheep and prepare a meal, do so. We'll have this massive wedding, Mulana. This grand wedding. You ask the father, the boy's side, where's the walima? He said, what are you talking about? This great sunnah is left out.
Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah.
Mulana, we will barakat come, Mulana.
Yes, Ustad. Haq.
Let's do the nikah the right way, Mulana. This is a lifelong relationship, Mulana. You know how much of effort we have to make, how much of dua we have to make, how much of counseling to the bride-to-be and the bridegroom-to-be, marriage classes, marriage lessons, ulama speaking to the wife, I mean the muallimas and the alim speaking to the husband-to-be, to equip them so that they could fulfill hukukullah and hukukul ibad. But none of that is prevalent. Because I learned about marriage from the internet.
Allah.
And all the rubbish that we see there. So what you going to expect, Mulana?
Yeah, you're right. Haq, Ustad, haq. I see brother Muhammad Bassa, mashallah, from Durban. who will be getting married, inshallah, on the 31st of August to start. He's listening to the program as well, and he's telling me, Maulana Arafat, you better have Zafran. Have Zafran by. You see what Maulana Salim Karim just said. So, he says...
Maulana, you're in trouble. You got some mutton to sort out.
Now you got Zafran. Zafran tea. He will be getting married on the 31st of August to start, so he's requesting for du'as. This is Brother Muhammad Bassa.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him and his wives to be love and muhabbat. Allah grant them barakah. Allah grant them afiyat, understanding.
Ameen.
And Allah ta'ala unite them in soul, in mind, in heart. And Allah ta'ala bless them with pious children. This is our du'a, Maulana.
Ameen, summa ameen, summa ameen. Ustaz, final question before I leave you this evening. It's my third marriage, Ustaz, that has been broken. But I don't know why. I keep on attracting the wrong men in my life. And they're usually abusive or humanizers. So the sister wants to know, Ustaz, that how do you advise me to pick a good spouse? This is from Durban, Ustaz, Morningside.
Maulana, just as a lighter note, you know, Maulana, those people who deal with diamonds and gold, they got a very big, what you call magnified glass.
Acha?
You can't see the beauty of the diamond or the original diamond.
Yes, correct.
Whether it's fake or not, Maulana, you'll always find they got that small glass on the eye.
Yes, correct.
It's a magnified glass.
Correct.
They turn that thing upside down, see, in every direction to make sure that it's original. In Cape Town also, when they make the nikah, especially when you give them the gold coin. Yes, in Durban and Natal or Transvaal, we really don't worry about it, because obviously you got the certificate and the gold coin or the Kruger coin is given as a But in Cape Town, it's not so easy, Mona.
Why?
They call the goldsmith there. You're laughing. I'm not laughing.
Are you serious, Ustad?
Yeah, I'm serious, Mona. I remember Mona Abdul Razak, Rahmatullah, got married in Cape Town. I went to the nikah. Yeah, so I saw that happening. So they, mashallah, they do a good job. They mean good. But some people also take chances, Mona. So they check that gold out, whether it's original gold or not gold.
Sure.
Just so on the light note for the sister, maybe there's some mistake she's making. I don't know what is it that she's looking for. Or maybe she's not doing her homework properly.
Mm.
Or maybe she's confused in her mind. I'm not sure. Maybe off air, Maulana, we need to speak to her maybe and give her some advice.
Definitely, Ustad.
So sometimes, Maulana, we make the wrong choice. That's why make istikhara. That's what I'm saying. One, together, top it up, find out more about the boy or the girl from family members, from friends, from neighbors, and from your colleagues in school and madrasa. Maulana, they will be able to give you a rough idea. We all change over time, Maulana. Maybe in school I was very naughty, but they always say that, Maulana. But we all change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we grow, we mature, our mindset is different. But at least you get an idea. The most important thing, what is the akhlaq of this person? Has he got sabr in him?
Ya Allah.
Has he got tolerance in him?
Allahu Akbar.
Can he speak, you know, with a soft tone? Does he smile? Or is it Abu San Qantarira? You know, there are some men, Maulana, they just don't smile. It's very hard to make them smile. And what did Rasulullah say? A smile is an act of charity.
Of charity, sadaqah.
To your Muslim brother. Yes, Maulana, I'm serious in what I'm saying. Because some of the sisters said, Maulana, my husband just doesn't smile.
But why, Ustad? Maybe stress?
I don't know. Whether he's stressed out or it's just not his mizaj or his tabiat. It's just not possible to get them to smile. So anyway, Maulana, time
Allah.
Is up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us afiyat.
Ameen, ameen, ameen.
This week, next week, insha'Allahul Aziz. Maulana, insha'Allah, I think on Saturday, you're performing a nikah.
Definitely, Ustad, inshallah.
Insha'Allah, we'll meet you at that nikah, insha'Allahul Aziz. Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala grant, I think it's Masiha, if I'm...
Ji, Masiha right. Ismail, Ji Ustad.
Yes, and Allah Ta'ala grant and make that nikah salamat and afiyat. Allah Ta'ala give them happiness and joy.
Ameen.
Allah Ta'ala Taqabbal. Make it easy for the couple, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, inshallah. Ustaz, jazakumullah khair. And of course, definitely we will be meeting this Saturday, inshallah, for the nikah here in Indonesia. And Ustaz, tomorrow where will you be performing Salatul Jumu'ah?
Molana, I'll be in Junction Masjid in Durban, Molana, inshallah.
Ameen, ameen, inshallah, ameen, summa, inshallah. Requesting for du'as, Ustaz, inshallah, have a beautiful sleep. Make du'a for the ummah, Ustaz.
Yeah, I just want to end it up here with one for the road.
Ji, Ustaz. One for the road.
Teacher to the student.
Uh-huh.
If your father earns 500, this is maths problem, Molana, maths.
Okay, I'm with you, I'm with you.
Teacher to the student. If your father earns 500 rand a week and gives half to your mother,
mm-hmm.
what will he have?
250 rand.
No, the student said heart attack. No, no, no.
Ustaz, no, come on. Allah,
Allah, don't forget, inshallah, tonight, let's make dua of
istighfar. Ameen, 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 inshallah.
At least 100 times, if you can't read 1,000 times, 100 times astaghfirullah, 100 times durood sharif, 100 times hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, hasbunallah, and 100 times la ilaha illa anta, subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimeen. Make dua for our country, make dua for our families, and inshallah, for our brothers and sisters in Palestine and Kashmir, and wherever there's suffering and atrocities. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Ameen. Jazakumullah khair. Ustaz, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Six minutes after 10, we're going to leave you and love you on this beautiful evening on our program, The Discussion, the night of Jumu'ah. I hope everybody have a beautiful, wonderful, awesome sleep. Definitely tomorrow morning again, we will be up and waiting for you, inshallah, on our program, As-Safinatu Ilal Jannah. I know many, many people wait for the day of Jumu'ah. And tomorrow is the day of Jumu'ah. So, inshallah, we're all looking forward for tomorrow on our program, As-Safinatu Ilal Jannah. I'm going to leave you and love you. I thank my engineer brother Lakono, my beloved Fadilatul Ustad Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim. Tamad barakatum, all the way from Lady Smata. Yes, my beloved beautiful listeners, from myself, see you tomorrow morning on our program, As-Safinatu Ilal Jannah. Allahumma hadina wa hadibina wa hadina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.